Remember, remember, the 5th of November, the gunpowder treason and plot. I know of no reason why the gunpowder treason should ever be forgot. But what of the man? Legends fade into myth until all but forgotten by the world. And then what? What moors us to our time? Love? The connections we make? The things for which we fought? But what if the things we fought were buried deep inside ourselves? Conceal me what I am and be my aid, for such disguise as haply shall become the form of my intent. When I first met him, I was a scared little girl. I came to him broken from the world, bearing the scars of my past. That first night, he saved me from the evils of men. We listened to the sounds of an invisible symphony and witnessed the spectacle of justice unmasked. The second time we met, I made a choice, and he brought me to his home, the Shadow Gallery. There, surrounded by the reclaimed vestiges of a world long since past, he saved me from my fear. While soft jazz and warm candlelight filtered through the meandering pathways of sandstone walls, he became the cruel master that broke me until all that was left was my true intent, free from disguise and misdirection. I was no longer frightened by the world, and that night, when he carried me out into evening air, I clung to him and felt the gentle rain upon my face. I was reborn. Baptized. God is in the rain. I moved away from him and felt a strength I've never known, remade by his careful hand. But my education did not stop there. We grew closer. While the world fell apart around us, we fused together, inseparable. He was more than my teacher. He was my master. And he had one last task: to save me from myself, to embrace the secret, forbidden desires I kept buried, to coax from me the bloom of womanhood that he could see in my rough, unfinished form, to encourage me to let the last veil of artifice fall and realize who I truly am. Who is but the form following the function of what, and what I am is his. I have been in this position for some time. I am bound, expertly tied. The rope is an exquisite adornment for my naked body. I am bent over, my arms tied behind my back. My chest rests against the frame before me. My legs are spread apart, braced and tied. I am completely open, vulnerable. I wait. After a time, I hear the soft sounds of music from the central room. I know it is about to begin. My body involuntarily begins to tingle. I don't hear a sound, but I know he has entered the room. My senses are heightened by my training. I look up and he stands before me. And like a flower craning toward the light, I yearn to reach out to him, to be closer. Without a word, I feel a gloved hand cup my face. My heart races, and my breath quickens. I can sense his approval at my constancy in waiting. I feel a gloved finger trail down my neck and shoulder as he inspects me. His hand moves slowly, teasingly, down my back to the firm rise of my bottom. He stops there, gripping my flesh powerfully, sending a warm shock racing to my core, and then a rough slap. I hiss and inhale sharply. He handles me roughly, but with a precision that comforts me. His control and dominance allow me a place of safe exploration, a place where I can completely let go. I have never felt this free in my entire life. He moves back toward my head, his finger feeling my contours through the ever-present glove he wears. They are an extension of the man. All I feel is the man touching me, claiming me. My body responds to his every move. An electric shiver of anticipation courses through me. And finally, I hear the sound I've been longing for. Such an exquisite melody. Our song. He stands directly before me, looking at me, gauging my state. I strain to look up. His eyes are obscured, but I know he sees me. Our gaze meets. We are synchronized through time and space. Without a word, I open my mouth and stick out my tongue. An involuntary smile adorns my face. And I know he is grinning too. It's not just a shift in light or a flicker of my imagination. He approves. I know this because he feeds me his cock, the greatest compliment I could ever receive. Slow and steady, he parts my lips, sliding the head of his cock over the length of my quivering tongue and rubbing the back of my mouth. I gag at the fullness, but maintain eye contact. His cock is fully inside my mouth, knocking at the entrance to my throat. I close my lips and embrace him with my tongue and the warm, fleshy walls of my cheeks. I moan in the delight I feel of having him inside me. I can feel him throb. He slowly withdraws his drool-covered cock and once again plunges it deeply into my mouth, this time resting his hands on the top and sides of my head. As he begins to fuck my face, he lovingly runs his fingers through my hair. I practically purr. The intimacy overwhelms me as I deeply gag and tears begin to stream down my face. He withdraws his cock and stops, tilting his head, looking at me. Without thought or hesitation, I extend my neck, chasing his cock with my eager tongue and lips. Like air, I need it. I crave it. I will do anything to have him once again filling my mouth. He nods once and then takes a wider stance. With both hands firmly holding my head in place, he thrusts again into my waiting mouth. No longer my mouth, but his fuckhole to use however he sees fit. His pelvis jets forward and his cock bridges the crest of my throat and sinks deeply in. I can feel my airway constrict and my neck bulge to accommodate his girth. I cannot breathe, but I trust him implicitly. He pauses. A low growl fills the room as he withdraws his cock from my throat, and I hastily inhale, audibly gasping. He does not relent. Once again, he pushes his cock deep down my throat, stopping the flow of air into my body. Once again, he pauses, but this time, for longer. I can feel his cock thicken and throb in the tight confines of my esophagus. He withdraws his cock and I gasp. He squats down, eye level with me, and says, "Ask me, and I shall give it to you." I pause, shaking. I need, don't turn away from this moment, he says, inching closer to me. Embrace it. I need to taste your cum in my mouth. The cold ceramic warms into a grin. He cups my face again and stands, moving to fuck my mouth once again. "Wait," I say. He tilts his head, looking at me. I need to feel your hands on my face, your gloves off, I say. My voice soft. He pauses, looking at me. Then he reaches his hands together, never breaking eye contact, and slowly removes his gloves. They drop to the ground, and he moves his hand, his bare hand, to my face. When his skin touches my own, I moan aloud. My heart feels as though it would burst. I briefly close my eyes, nuzzling against the textured skin of his palm, and then look up at him, opening my mouth. Full of longing and fury, he plows my mouth, grunting and growling as he uses it to milk the orgasm from his incredibly hard cough. His breath becomes shallow and halting, and he cries out, never slowing his pace. I feel the salty, sweet splash of his cum on my tongue, thick like a savory cream. I moan and tighten my lips around his shaft, eager to rend every drop from him. He stumbles slightly, expending all his energy coming in my mouth. He pumps his shaft between my lips a few more times and then withdraws completely from me. As his essence drips down my throat, I close my eyes and swallow, savoring his sperm, committing his flavor to memory. I move my tongue across my teeth to chase his disappearing taste. As his breath returns to him, he touches my face one final time. He bends over to pick up his gloves and swiftly puts them back on. I'll go prepare your bath, he says, standing up tall. Then I'll come back to collect you. I nod and watch his figure disappear into the shadows of the hall. So what of the man? He was known by many names and for many things. A villain to some, a hero to many. But I knew him as a teacher, a lover, a master, and as a man that danced with me by the light of the moon.